Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Never Ever Too Late for Love series, where we explore and master the keys to renewing your passion and recharging your confidence so you can find your forever love. I'm your host, Bryn Williams, and with me for this session is Kimberly Seltzer. But before we chat with her, I'd like to share a little bit about this series in case you're listening for the first time. Throughout these episodes, I and my amazing experts are sharing different ways to gear up for love, meaning preparing yourself to find your forever love, and to develop a sense, or a direction, if you will, of where to begin your quest to find the one. It is the mission of this series of conversations and our wish that we can support you to reignite your belief that it's never, ever too late for love, and it's not. So let's get started. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Kimberly. And she is a makeover and confidence expert, therapist, and dating coach based in Los Angeles. She utilizes the unique combined use of therapy, in-field dating coaching, NLP, and styling to help people with their confidence in dating life. Kimberly helps both men and women update and discover their personalized image through wardrobe consultation and assistance in purchasing clothes that fit each body type and lifestyle. She has developed her own wing gal approach with clients, doing in-field work, working on body language, first impressions, styling and communication, and how it impacts confidence and attraction. She has enjoyed opportunities on the radio, TV, and on the web. Kimberly was the 2015 co-host and lead love expert of a traveling dating show, The Great Love Debate. She also frequently co-hosts The Art of Charm and it's a podcast with Jordan Harbinger. Is that what his name is, Kimberly?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, yay. I always have to ask with the name thing. And there's another one, Full Disclosure, that's launching soon. You can also see her in a new cable reality dating show, The Romance. Kimberly enjoys speaking and giving seminars, such as being the keynote speaker for Neutrogena, National Matchmaking Conference, eHarmony, and iData. Kimberly just launched her new annual conference series for men and women, The Makeover Blueprint. She is an advisory board member and dating expert for a newly launched program, XOXY.com. Kimberly is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post, DigitalRomance.com, WorldLifestyle.com, and Your Tango, and is featured in Cosmopolitan Magazine, Ask Men, Fox News Magazine, Red Book, Washington Examiner, and Yahoo Shine. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Wow.
I always chuckle when I hear my bio being played back, because like, and that's why I love the topic of this summit, because really I'm just a girl who just went through all of that. I had to get back out there, and really that's why I'm so passionate about doing all that I do, and I just feel fortunate that, you know, different paths had led me down to get to this point where I'm able to reach so many people. But really, that's why I'm here. And so I love this topic and the summit that you put together, because it really, when you're going through something like, you know, a breakup of a marriage or a partnership for a long time, it's so hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm here to tell all of you, after hearing my bio, yes, it can happen. It does happen.
Yes.
So
it does. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So it's so easy, the grieving process of a relationship, that to just stay stuck in anger and in a rut. So what would you recommend to women, ways to get past that anger and to make changes to start transforming their lives and relationships and getting recharged again to find love?
Yeah, you know, it's, I love talking about this too, because, you know, if you knew me then, I was a very different woman. I was definitely stuck, and it's not just anger. I mean, I think so many emotions are within you. You know, there's fear, there's overwhelm, there's anxiety, there's, you know, you kind of go through the whole grieving process, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, and this is the therapist in me, right, is that when you go through a breakup, it's much like going through a death, and you go through all the grieving stages, you know, until you are able to feel at least somewhat stable and with 2 feet on the ground. And so I always tell people, honor yourself. I just got off the phone actually with a client, and she is about 2 months out from her divorce. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, I'm doing great. And I was in such a good mood last week. And then something just hit me this week. And I'm like, I can't move. And I said, that's normal. And I tell people, it's almost like feeling like you're a teenager again. You go through this, like, these mood swings of adolescence, and you almost feel like you're this reckless teenager going out on dates and exploring, you know, the world. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think that's part of the healing and finding yourself. So I wanted to answer that question with just that, that first of all, it's honor where you're at and that it's completely normal. But also to see, though, where it may be stopping you. And I find that sometimes the anger and the fear can actually, you know, really become almost a barrier or protection from moving forward. So, in other words, it's easier to stay stuck in the anger and stuck in the anxiety, because then you don't have to, like, actually do something to change. Because change is even sometimes more scary than the anger. And I mean, I know that was true for me for sure. I mean, I did not know what I was doing. I did not even know what these creatures out there, what we call men, even were like, you know, at that point. And so the first thing I tell people to do is, and this often sounds selfish to a lot of people, especially women who are over caretakers, and you all know who I'm talking about. If you're one of them, I certainly was, in that it's time to focus on you. And what I mean by that is do things for you to almost get back to basics. Basic, like almost think of yourself, how were you before the marriage, before the relationship, and do things that you enjoy. It's part of almost reinventing yourself, getting your identity back, getting involved in things that maybe you haven't been doing for a while because you kind of get caught up in the couplehood. So that's the first thing. Also, you know, knowing your strengths. A lot of clients I know, like, they kind of dwell on the negative and things that they're unhappy with themselves. And I always tell people, find the things that you love about yourself and go do things, you know, write a list of strengths and all the things that you love about yourself. And sometimes, I know it sounds so simplistic, but that's really hard for people, especially when they're in that kind of stuck, you know,
it
energy.
Is. You kind of draw a blank. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would even recommend asking a friend, you know, a close friend, and just say, so what would you see my strengths are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, anything that can really help you get into that more positive state, because once you recognize things that are positive about you, so will others. And I think so often, you know, women try to put a Band-Aid on things. And they try to go get the next man or the next relationship that will almost kind of just, or numb out, as I call it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we all do it to some extent because it's part of coping. But I think when it becomes in excess, and then, like, for over a long period of time where somebody's just completely numbing out and they're not allowing themselves to feel and embracing all that they are, they're focused too outside themselves. So that's why I'm always saying the first thing is pull in, focus on you, honor your feelings, know what's good about you. And then I tell people to kind of feed three different things. The first thing is feed your mind. So maybe stimulate by doing something challenging mentally. Maybe you're discovering a new career. I know I did that. You can go take a class, you know, do something that you're finding interesting. The second thing to feed is your spirit. So if you can get into anything like taking, you know, things that you can do to pamper yourself, massage, take a vacation, look at different hobbies or outlets. You know, salsa dancing is a great thing. I know I did that when I went out, and it was just so nice to have things that it was kind of outside my head as well, because sometimes people also get too much in their head, right? Like, this is all about balance. And the third thing is taking care of your body. Get your body pumping. Exercise is probably one of the most useful things that you could do. You'll sleep better, you'll eat better, you can concentrate, it'll help with your spirits, getting those endorphins going. And I also find that this also is a time where, you know, the whole transformation can occur. And I know we're going to talk about my makeover in a second, but you don't see your body necessarily when you're going through something like that. And when you take care of yourself and you do things in your body, in your mind, with your spirit, you will holistically feel better about yourself. And guess what, ladies? That's what men find attractive. I want to say this. Men love women who love themselves, period. That's it. It doesn't matter the size, the shape, the ethnicity, your age. It's when you love you, that's when others will too. And so this is a beautiful moment to really, you know, kind of stand back, take a look at yourself, and know what you want, because this is your time.
Right. And see it instead of something that is really terrible that's happened to you, is that it's an opportunity to just discover yourself again.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times, and you see there's so much stigma around, you know, divorce, being single, and I think a lot of gloom and doom is out there. Even with some of the articles, if you see, that are out there, and it can get really difficult. And what I say about that is that single is not a dirty word. Single, being single is actually a beautiful time. And if something wasn't working, either in your marriage or relationship, then this is your time to find something that is right for you. And not to say that, you know, there weren't gifts in that relationship, but when you guys can see the gifts in your relationships within you and what your new life is about to offer, that positivity will radiate outwards. And you'll be more approachable. Guys will want to get to know you. It all is encompassing. It works together. And that's why I love what I do, by the way. I love working with women and putting them in a state of action. Because when you're in this state of, you know, kind of being stuck in a rut or in fear or in anger, it's hard to get past that when you're constantly talking about it or if you're in that negativity state. And so when I take people shopping or when I take people out to do my wing girl sessions where I teach them how to flirt and, you know, how to be approachable and where to find men, it puts people in that state of change because it's enough talking already. It's time to take action. And when people are in that action-oriented type of activity, they feel different because they're getting results. And I see it time and time again when I'm working with my clients. So it's exciting. It's a really exciting time.
Oh, that is a wonderful way to look at it, because it's so easy to go spin the other way. So, but you have a choice, right? You can choose to spin the other way. You can choose to spin and take action and find some help and all those things. So let's talk about makeovers. Please, just talk about it, because it elicits this change.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How much time do we have? I mean, I could talk about makeovers till the cows come home. Well, you know, the makeovers that I do is really kind of an inside-out experience. I, as you heard, not only am I, you know, an image expert or image consultant, I also am a therapist and a dating coach. So I kind of use this three-prong approach in helping people look and feel good so they attract what they want. And what is true is that it's this inner and outer, it really is symbiotic relationship. For me, you can't just talk about one without talking about the other. And when it comes to attraction, when it comes to approachability and likability, your presentation, how you put yourself out there, is sometimes even more important than all this internal talking stuff that you're doing. And believe me, that stuff is important. But sometimes, and I know this was true for me, I mean, I let myself go. I was that like tired mommy that had the oversized clothes and the nursing bras, the Birkenstocks, and I looked in the mirror. I like, that ain't happening. Like that, I am not going out into this world looking like this, thinking that I'm going to attract a man. And I remember the first time that I went shopping, it was kind of that aha moment, right? Like this woman brought me this red dress and she held it up and she said, you should try this. Now I looked at it and to me it looked like it was three sizes too small and it wasn't a color that I was used to. Mind you, my whole wardrobe at that time was black, a little bit of beige, maybe some gray, right? You can see kind of the dark moments of my life was really reflected
in
my...
We were not happy in those clothes.
Right. Well, we were definitely not helping. And so she put slashes, this like red thing in front of me that looked like something a Barbie doll would wear. And I'm like, that's so sweet of you, but that's not me and it's not my size. And she looked at me and she says, honey, that is you and that is your size. So I'm like,
wow.
Rolled my eyes, I crinkled my nose, I put it on, I'm like zipping it up, I turn around, I look in the mirror, and I was like, oh my God, she was right. It was my size, and it was me, but I had not seen me in so long that I didn't realize that was me. And I see this happen over and over again with my clients that, you know, like I didn't know that my body really was looking like that. I didn't know that I was hiding in my clothes. I didn't know it was uncomfortable for me to be actually seen out in the world in a red dress. But when I stepped out into the world in this new costume that I had on, and I called it a costume because it really didn't feel like me yet. I had to kind of wear it until I really embraced it, where I started getting noticed. And it was scary, but at the same time, I liked it. And my confidence started growing. And this is what I'm talking about when the inner and the outer kind of meet together, that this confidence within me grew. And I was also walking out in the world looking like a more confident person and attractive person. That's when the magic all started happening. And again, was it only the red dress? Is that why I'm here today? Probably not. But did it help? Absolutely. And so when clients come to me and they're in this kind of state of being stuck in a rut and they can't see themselves, you know, kind of past what they can only see, and I look on their online profile and they have a bunch of like mommy pictures, or they have a bunch of pictures with them in sweats and them bowling, or, you know, whatever it is, it's not putting them in the sexy, you know, approachable woman or a dating image that should be, then there's nothing more magical than having them transform in front of my eyes, in front of their eyes, where they can see and feel a difference, and then they get the results. And again, from there, when I work with people, it's not just the clothes, it's how they embody it. It's breaking negative patterns from the past so that they can create new ones in the future. And so it's really kind of this overall process of the makeover that I do. So hopefully that kind of answer, it was like a long-winded answer to your question, but.
Oh, that was great though. It's just, ladies, you need to go to her website and look at what the makeovers have done to the people. I mean, just putting those clothes on them, it blew me away. I mean, you can tell they feel good. And I love that. They feel good about themselves.
Well, and that's what's so profound, too, is that, you know, and this is just research talking. This isn't just me being a blonde-haired lady from L.A. saying, oh, you must look fabulous. Like, it's so not me. It really, this is what research says, is that when it comes to first impressions, first of all, you got only 30 seconds. And now with Tinder, it's probably way faster. But within those 30 seconds, people... in general, like it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, but people in general make judgments and assumptions on who you are based on two things. One is the clothes that you wear, and the second is the attitude that you have. So what you say isn't even as important as how you show up. And I see this over and over and over again. I mean, there's this one woman on the website that I often flash. I do a lot of speaking. And if you see her, she looks almost like a librarian in the before picture. She has these glasses on. She has a bun. She has no makeup on. She's kind of slouching. And I ask people, you know, when you look at her for the first time, what do you think she does for a living? And everybody says librarian or accountant. Now, I don't tell people that, but that's their assumption based on how she looks. So you can only imagine that if you have a presentation like that in an online dating situation, what a guy may think of that picture versus her after picture where she's in a dress, she has her one hand on her hip, she's smiling and she's cocking her head and she looks confident, sexy, and approachable. And it just, the difference, like you said, is profound. You can see in the pictures how much more confident these ladies look. And again, that's what is attractive to a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that what you said. I'm saying it again. Men love women who love themselves. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's true. I mean, you love yourself better at too, you know, so it's a win-win.
Exactly, exactly.
So you have, I hear, a magic formula for attraction. Can you let us in on that?
I'd be happy to. It's a little secret that I teach often, and I call it, just to make it very simple, the three F's. And what I mean by it's not the F's that you think about, but if you do these three F's, certainly you'll probably get there. I was joking about it. The three F's are simply this. Number one, have fun. Have fun, ladies. We are all getting so serious. We are in our phones. We're getting busier and busier by the minute. We're caught in our fear and our anger, and we have these resting bitch faces on when we're out and about, and we don't even know how that negativity or that seriousness is impacting a guy's ability to come up to you, to say hello, to meet people, to embrace all these opportunities that are out there. Ladies, men are everywhere and anywhere. They're at the grocery store, they're at the coffee shop, they're at the malls, they're next door to you. Like, take the blinders off and treat the world almost as your playground rather than this scary jungle that's out there. You know, and I think so many times, especially when you're going through divorce and breakup, there's a lot of seriousness and heaviness to it. So the more that you can let go of that and have some time where you're feeling more playful, and even if you're not feeling that, I always encourage women to do things that get them in that playful state. So take an improv class, play with your kids, laugh, go to a comedy show, you know, just instill some sort of lightness in your life so that transcends out to the world where you'll be more approachable, you'll be more positive on dates, and your dates will know that. The second F that I talk about is fashion. Of course, we've been talking about fashion. Make sure you are dressing for a man and not for a friend. And what I mean by that is that many women dress for other women. So there are certain things that men find sexy when it comes to their clothes, and I encourage all of you to contact me, and you'll get more info on that. But I will tell you that one of the kind of, the number one thing that most men say is, okay, what I have not met one man. In fact, I even took a poll on Facebook recently, and 90% of men agreed with me that there's nothing sexier than a woman in a dress and a pair of heels. And I know there's a lot of women out there who may roll their eyes and say, oh, but a dress isn't me, or I can't find one that looks good on me, or I have feet issues, I can't wear heels, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've really helped a lot of women kind of debunk some of these myths or challenges that they think of themselves. In fact, the librarian that I talked about earlier, she was one of those girls who said, oh, I can never wear a dress. Well, I found a brand that fit her to a T, and she walked out of the store with 10 dresses. You know, a lot of it is just knowing your body type. It's knowing what brands fit your body type. Know what stores to shop in. Same with your shoes. Know what shoes are good for your feet. If you have feet challenges, I understand that. And there's even some, I actually was working with a podiatrist the other day. He invented these inserts that go into shoes that make them way, way more comfortable. And women who have bunions and, you know, collapsible arches, it really, really helps with these. So there's all kinds of things that you can do. But it's just recognizing that these are things that make a woman really sexy. Then the third F, of course, is flirting. Now, I could do a whole interview on flirting, so I know we're almost out of time on that. But here's what I'll say about it, is that if you look at the definition of flirting, flirting is to behave as though you are attracted to someone without the serious intention of an outcome. So think about that definition, without the serious intention of an outcome. Women get so tripped up on worrying so much. I don't want to give the guy the wrong signal, or I don't want to dumb down for a man, or I've heard so many, I have like a list of excuses that women have around flirting. And what I'll say by that is that it's not what you really think it is. Flirting is really just creating what I call a magnetic energy so that you are, again, creating that positive energy where men are just drawn to you. And wouldn't that be a great problem to have, where you have all these men at your feet and you get to choose who you want to date and who you don't want to date, right? Like,
kind of like
I'll never
Scarlett
forget.
O'Hara. I'm picturing Scarlett O'Hara at the beginning of the movie where she has all these men wrapped around her.
That's exactly right. I love that. That's exactly what you should be. And, you know, I even tell women, you know, think of a celebrity that you admire who you find flirtatious, where you kind of like her style. And that's the other thing, is that everybody has a different flirting style. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be Marilyn Monroe and have, you know, the wind flying up your dress and you know, the low cut
down
dress.
To your navel.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's not, some women maybe, they like that. But it has to be comfortable for you. And once you find your style, then you make it your own, and that's all that matters. And that's why I tell women all the time, look for celebrities, watch movies, find friends who are good at it, and just let it rub off on you and see what it is they do that really gets results. So when I have the Wing Girl sessions with my ladies, and I coach men, by the way, too, is that sometimes half the time I'll just model for them what that looks like, what that means. And so they see kind of the impact, the things that I'm doing. Now I break it down for them afterwards and what I'm doing. But, you know, obviously the more you do it, the more practice you have, the easier it becomes. So what I tell you, just get out of your head and just go for it and be, you know, even smiling and making eye contact. That's a great start. Great start.
Yeah.
So many women don't like make eye contact or even smile at a guy. And I'll end here with this, because again, I could go on my soapbox with this stuff, is that men, you know, a lot of women think, well, I want a guy to approach me because I like alpha guys. I don't want to, you know, I don't believe in being the aggressor. Well, what I say to that is it's not about being aggressive. You know, it's not about going up to a guy, putting out your hand and saying, nice to meet you, I'm Kim. Like, that's aggressive. But it's dropping the hanky. It's turning your cab light on so that a guy feels safe enough to come over and say hello. So a smile will tell him and signal, it's like a smoke signal, that, hey, I don't bite. Ladies, men are terrified of you. Like, you have to know that. Most men are terrified of getting, you know, shot down or rejected. And so if you can make it fun for them, easier for them, they like that. And then they'll approach you. So we both sexes have responsibility and approachability and attraction. So those are my three F's. And literally, if you did one thing in each of those categories that were different, think of the results and something that might happen to you that's different than what's happening to you now. it'll be profound.
That's amazing. I was going to comment that once they get your free gift, but I don't want to talk about your free gift yet, but they can find a dress.
Yes.
Get a dress.
Hey. And if I might be so bold to say, get a red dress, because that's the other thing
that
men, oh gosh, men love red dresses. And what's great about red is there's so many different shades of red. So it's just, you got to make sure that it's the right red for your skin tone. There's some reds that are kind of orangey. There's some reds that have more blue in them. So if you get one that really works well on your skin tone and you're able to do it, seriously, every guy I know, they tell me they love a woman in a red dress. It's a little magic bullet.
And heels, how tall are we talking about? How tall heels, or do they?
Oh, that doesn't matter. The length of the heel doesn't matter. The point of the heels is that what it does, and this is what men don't realize why they like heels. Men like heels for three reasons. One is it makes your legs look really shapely. You ever notice when you have even just a little lift in your shoe, your calves get more defined. So it's a really sexy thing for a guy to see your legs looking like that. The second thing they love is that it slows down your walk. I mean, ladies, think about how you walk in a pair of flip-flops versus a heel. It slows down your walk. You have a little kind of lift in your walk, right? And it's sexier. It's more sultry. And the third thing is quite honestly, they don't wear them. Well, most men don't wear them. So it's a feminine thing. It's something that they admire. They like shiny things. They like dresses. They like those kind of girly-ish things because it's something that for them and their
they're not.
That they're not, exactly. And
I'm getting
what the
it.
It's all about.
I have a thing about beards because I can't grow one, so I get it.
There you go.
Beards
well,
are really sexy.
Thank God. I know there's some women who do grow beards, but that's
well,
the
that's
thing.
True, but we won't talk about that. There's Nair. There's all sorts of things to deal with that, too. But
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, but. That's good to know. I never knew that about the heels. I'm going to have to go put mine back on.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
because
the heel thing, it does, again, it doesn't have to be really big. And the good thing about today's styles, if people haven't been shoe shopping lately, is that the chunky heel is really back in, thank God. So they're so comfortable. Anything with a little platform in them and the toe is also going to be a lot more supportive. And spring is here. It's upon us, and summer's around the corner. So that means the wedges. You know, wedges act almost similarly to the heels. Some men I've heard are kind of iffy on the wedges, but that doesn't matter. Again, it's about you, ladies. It's about how you feel. Walk in a pair of heels. Do a little experiment. Walk in a pair of heels next time you're out and about. And see how you feel when you're just walking, and then look and notice who's noticing you. Just do that little experiment and see if there is a difference in the way that men are responding to you. Because again, it's about you and your attitude and your walk, and it's also about you being more aware of your surroundings and how men are treating you.
That's a good one. Take it in, ladies. I have one final question. How can a woman be her own matchmaker?
Well, you know, I used to do matchmaking on top of all this other stuff. And
wow.
I loved it.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
It was fun. But I will say that for me, the most successful people that ended up in the end when I matched them were the ones who coached with me. Because at the end of the day, you can slab a bunch of pictures in front of a man or from a woman, or in front of a woman, and say, "Here you go. Here's, you know, five eligible bachelors. Go on a date. Have fun." But the truth of the matter is that these women kept finding themselves in the same patterns that they did before, or the men weren't good enough, or, you know, whatever the conversations were. So when I started coaching with them and figuring out what you know, was kind of missing for them or things that needed to change, that's when things really progressed. And so when I teach people now, I tell them to be their own matchmaker because they're like, oh, well, can't you just set me up with a man? I'm like, I could if I wanted to, but the same things are going to happen again. And don't you want to recreate something? You want to attract the right person for you where you are right now, and most people do. So again, I think it's kind of goes back to the way I approach things with people. It's looking, you know, doing some good internal work and looking at your past and how it impacts your future and the choices you make and the patterns that get created. I have this whole chemistry analysis that I do with people and why they're getting attracted to people and looking at how they can create new, you know, patterns. You know, and then the second thing is kind of taking a look at how you can redesign your appearance and looking at your image. And are there things that you need to change about your image that could really make a difference? Again, your dating image should look different than your mommy image, than your corporate image. There really should be more intention behind it. And when you start embracing that and having fun, it really is fun. Getting all dolled up and getting excited about dates and having that, you know, preparation is awesome. And then the final thing is taking a look at your social plan, or what I call dating plan. And I have this whole kind of approach to it where I help people create a social plan. And what I say, I kind of tell people that your dating portfolio should look much like your financial portfolio. You need to diversify as much as possible in order to get the results. So if you're just focusing on online dating, eventually you're going to get burnt out, and then you're going to get a bad taste in your mouth of what dating's all about. You got to enrich your life. You got to get involved in many different activities, enrich your social circle. And ladies, if your whole social circle is filled with married folks, as nice as they are, and God love them, save them for like a Sunday brunch. Don't go, you know, find yourself a good pair of single gals that you can hang out with, who get your world, who get that flirtatious energy so that you can go out and have fun with them and really do things to, again, create more opportunity for yourself. So I create kind of this whole dating plan for people, no matter where they live. And I work with people all over the world. It doesn't matter where. It's really kind of doing your social research in your own hometown. And when you wake up to that and you see it, it's amazing the things that will happen. I'm proud to say that most people who work with me, they end up in a relationship, and now I'm working with them in the relationship that they are in. Did I set them up? No. But they created this opportunity by doing all the things that we worked on together, and it was all about them. It had nothing to do with the man. It was about them doing something different, so they got different results.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So you have a gift for our listeners, our saucy dames,
yes,
to get them going. So would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, I will. And this is a great way to start. Remember the one F that I talked about was taking a look at your fashion. And I have this body type booklet that is really fun, it's easy, and it teaches you how to measure yourself. And it's not about your weight. This is the big thing that women, you know, kind of misconstrue, that your body type has to do with your weight. It really has to do with your bone structure. So you're measuring your shoulders, your waist, and your hips to determine which body type you are. Now, there's 5 body types, and this guide goes into all the body types and what clothes flatter that particular body type and what clothes stay away from. I find that, you know, most women get overwhelmed and they go into the department store, they get frustrated with shopping because they're pulling the wrong thing. And so once you know your body type, you really will cut out the frustration of shopping. It'll make it so much more efficient and more fun. So definitely, you know, check that out. Also, by downloading that, I offer a discount to my virtual makeovers, which are totally fun. It's a 1-hour video session. where I do this whole makeover from head to toe. I teach you about your body type and your colors. I take a look at your closet. People get really into it and they start stripping in front of the camera. They're like, wait, but what about this outfit? It's awesome, you know, because I could then really, really see what you're wearing on, you know, different occasions. And I could say, tell you what to get rid of and what you should be looking at to, you know, look towards the future. It's almost like a roadmap, so to speak, on, you know, your and where you can do it on your own and your shopping and your image goals. So I encourage all of you to hop
great.
On that. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's a
oh,
great
you're
gift.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Yay. Oh, this has been so much fun, and we have to end. It's so sad, but we do.
But it's not goodbye. It's until the next time, right? And
that's
so I
right.
hope
that's
to
right.
meet some of you or all of you at some point and encourage you, like, once you get my body type booklet, you'll be in my community, and hopefully we can all stay in touch. So it'll be great.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. So I just want to remind my saucy dames that this episode is for another 7 days. And if you want to carry on the conversation, head on over to our private Facebook group. I'll be popping in. And finally, remember that it's never, ever too late for love. Thank you again so much, Kimberly. That was really fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye.